The new year is a new chance to get things straightened out, organized, fixed, to lose weight, to make new friends. Some people like to make a list of promises to themselves. Some people do that every day. Sasha Kagan in San Francisco publishes a magazine called To-Do List. It features articles and essays and several kinds of lists. Ms. Kagan spoke to us about making to-do lists in the new year.
There's this whole sense of doom and fatality with New Year's resolutions, too. I mean, it's a little bit of an arbitrary time of year to expect that everything is going to change or we're going to magically reform ourselves. But it's good to write things down. It's sort of one step closer to taking action. There's something very hopeful about it.
Here's one of my brand new favorites that I found in your magazine. Read 10 already owned unread books.
Mm-hmm.
That's a great one.
That comes from a writer in New York, and I think many of us have that problem.
What about your advice as to privacy here? Should you write a list that could be discovered by somebody and embarrass you, or should you keep your pure personal thoughts off that practical list?
There is this real voyeuristic thrill in looking at someone else's list. I mean, what we say about the magazine is that it's everything from flossing to finding a soulmate. So it sort of captures that range of mundane to meaningful things. There's something kind of comforting about that, just like it's comforting to see someone else's to-do list and see that everybody else struggles with the things that seem very elementary. Like, we should be able to pay our bills on time, but why is it such a struggle? And just to know that someone else has underlined that and put 3 exclamation points next to it gives a certain amount of solace.
Do you have examples of anonymous lists that could be embarrassing if the person who wrote them would become known?
Yeah, these lists can contain weird things that you need to be careful about. I guess taping it in your closet is a pretty safe way to go. Got a letter recently from a guy who he had a system when he was a teenager in code. He was a young gay man, so he had written XX for don't have sex with men in bathrooms, and POP for don't pop zits. And this was a teenager's list. Teenager's lists are interesting.
The back cover of your first issue.
Mm-hmm.
Got it there?
I do.
Okay. Do you know who wrote this list?
It's a woman in Berkeley who just reliably sends us to-do lists.
All right. You want to go through this one?
Sure. Red shirt, cotton basics, wheatgrass, cloves and oranges, two cups peanuts, finish purse, make peanut butter.
I like the progression here, the narrative, make the peanut butter.
Right. The purse in between.
Right.
Start pillows or skirt, totally clean house, pack bag for Will's house, check library for my year of meats.
Well, I have to stop you here. Check library for my year of meats?
Mm-hmm, that's a book.
And finally, cryptically, call Andy about Greenie.
Call Andy about Greenie. That's the thing. I mean, of course, they don't have verbs and they're not complete sentences. And many of the items are totally obscure and cryptic to us. But that is actually what makes it interesting. And I mean, they leave holes in the imagination.
Ms. Kagan, thank you for talking with us. I won't ask you for your actual list items, but have you crossed any of them off so far in 2002? Have you done that?
I do have a habit of liking to put extremely minute, achievable items on all my lists, even if they're big New Year's lists, because I feel like it gives me a sense of momentum and possibility. You know, like if I could wash the dishes reliably this morning, then there's a greater chance that I'll be able to set up that filing system and be more organized and, you know, reliably go to yoga, et cetera. So I did wash my cup this morning, so I felt pretty good about that.
That's a great start.
Yes.
Sasha Kagan talking with us from San Francisco. She's the publisher of the occasionally published magazine called To-Do List, a magazine of meaningful minutiae.